Welcome back to Teaching Tuesday. Today we're going to finish up talking about about Acts 2, 3, and 4 of the Crucible that we started last week. This last week was kind of a long one, so I wanted to split it up a bit. We had a lot of information to go through, and I didn't want to just dump everything on you guys. So this week, this week's information is going to be pretty simple, straightforward to give you guys, even though I still recommend that you guys watch the movie or watch a live recording, live production that's been recorded, or go see the play itself, and or at least read the play on your own. It'll make so much more sense. You'll be able to get all the nitty-gritty little details that you wouldn't get otherwise. So that's what my recommendation is. So today we're going to go through the questions that I would ask for Acts 2, 3, and 4. All right, here we go. Here we go to our questions. So number one that I always ask in Act 2, how would you describe the interactions between John and Elizabeth Proctor at the beginning of this act? So John and Elizabeth's relationship is strained. It's full of suspicion and guilt. Elizabeth suspects John's infidelity with Abigail. They discuss the farm stuff, but there's that underlying tension that Elizabeth's suspicious. Finally, she comes closer to the point. Were you alone with her? She asks. He says, for a moment, yes. She says, why then is it not what you're telling me? This infuriates John. Largely because he feels guilt and knows that she's right, he's wrong. The strain continues to build until finally John has to come clear later in the play to her that yes, he had the affair with her. Next question is, why is John Proctor hesitant to tell the court about Abigail being a fraud? Because of all the collateral damage on the social level that's going to be caused because their affair will be revealed. But then she'll be shown as a fraud, that she can't be reliable. So he has that personal dilemma and the social dilemma of, if I say that she's lying and why she's lying and, what happened between us, she'll be discredited, but also I'll be discredited as well. So he has that personal dilemma to deal with. Question number three for this act. Why does Reverend Hale come to Proctor's house? And what does he say and how does he feel about the situation? Well, he comes to question them, see if either of them had any suspicious activity, which could relate to witchcraft. Elizabeth was also named in court. He's trying to find some good signs good indications that they aren't witches, because by this point he seems less confident that what's going on with the trials is okay, but he still has, good faith that the court's doing the right thing as a whole, but he's starting to have a little wedge of doubt that this might not be the best thing that they're doing. And then question number four, what commandment does Proctor forget to mention and why was it significant? Well, he forgot to mention the one about adultery because he's that feelings of guilt that he felt earlier when he was talking with Elizabeth are still strong and prevalent. And yeah. So those are the questions for Act 2. Alright, so we're going to go on to Act 3. So I usually have the kids summarize this act in their own words and then go on into some other questions. So the next question after they have to summarize the act is, what does Mary Warren say in court that challenges the original thinking of Danforth, Paris, and Hawthorne. Was Mary willing to give that information up, or was she dreading it, and how did they know? Well, she tells the court that the puppet that they found in the Proctor household wasn't made by Elizabeth, but it was made by her. During the court hearings, and that the needle that was put in there, she put in there would to be safe, to keep it safe. She told all of these men in private that the girls were lying all this time, and that none of that really happened. However, she takes that back when she's coerced and saying that she sides with Abby and accuses John of witchcraft. And in a way, Mary was dreading all of that because Abby scared her into doing it, testifying that Mary was the one that sent the spirit out and all of that, and it was just a whole big old mess that Abigail, of course, did and instigated. She was really not a good kid. Then question three, the next question I ask them to do is, what does Proctor confess to in court, and how does Elizabeth respond? How did this affect the outcome of the trials? Well, of course, he finally exposes his affair with Abigail, but Elizabeth has to confirm or deny this without having prior knowledge that John had confessed to it already. This was possibly the first time that she had ever had to lie to protect her husband. But then they end up learning to forgive each other and start communicating their feelings. She can't blame him for the affair because her insecurities prevented her from trusting him, and her lack of emotion created distance between them. Up till that point, Abigail had been seen as completely innocent and a reliable source for all of this. She was also the leader of the group of girls, possibly even the oldest. But now that her name and reputation had been dragged through the mud, she wasn't quite as reliable, and her whole scheme was starting to fall apart. How did Abigail Williams and the other girls respond to Mary Warren and Proctor? Well, John was arrested for his involvement with Abigail and keeping it a secret, and I think just everything that had, slowly building up over the last few months prior to the trials, not going to church all the time kind of also helped in him being arrested and being suspected for being a witch because he didn't go to church as regularly as he quote-unquote should have, according to the Puritan way of doing things. But Mary Warren, and how Abigail responded to her, she accused her, saying that if she didn't go along with what they were doing, she'd die, be the next one to judge, all of that, Abigail will make Mary's life miserable. And that's kind of the basics of what went on in this act. All right, the last act of the Crucible, Act 4. So I always start this act with this one question. Between the time of the trials and beginning of Act 4, what happened in Salem? Well, between the end of Act 3 and the beginning of Act 4, 3 months had passed, and the trials had demoralized many in the village. A lot of the homes and other buildings in the village had gone to ruin because so many people had been put in jail during those 3 months and the few weeks prior in Acts 1, 2, and 3 during the trial. The next question I ask them is, what happened to Abigail Williams and John Proctor? Well, Abigail started sensing that since John confessed, her rule on things was starting to weaken, her grip on having everything go her way was starting to weaken. The game was up, so she stole money from her uncle and left before she could be accused and killed. Some say that she became a prostitute in another town, but worse comes to shove, she ended up leaving. And John, of course, was imprisoned for his involvement with Abigail. And as I said earlier, you know, at the end of Act 3, for possibly not going to church as often as he should have, having been suspected of being a wizard witch himself. Alright, question number 3. How had the atmosphere changed in Salem by Act 4 as in compared to the first act? Well, Act 1 opens with there being these feelings of fear, havoc, uncertainty, suspicion, concern that, oh, this is really happening. Everything's just unsettled. There's this big problem that truly needs to be resolved, but they don't really know how to do that, and it's causing panic and hysteria and havoc. But by Act 4, everyone's tired. Everyone's filled with doubt, like, did we really do the right thing and everything? Town's in ruins, due to everyone being in jail, X, Y, Z, everyone's just depleted. And then, the last question I'm going to answer is question number 4. What decision is John Proctor faced with, and what choices does he have to make? Well, he can sign his confession of being a witch, or die as a martyr for refusing to admit to being involved in witchcraft. He wanted to live, but he did not want his reputation and legacy to be in ruins, and to pass that on to his sons that he had. So he had that dilemma that he had to face as well. So there are some questions that I wanted to leave you guys with, that I didn't want to answer for you. One would be, would you have made the same decision or a different one if you were in his shoes? In John Proctor's shoes. Do you think the events of the play and the time period could actually occur in today's society? Can and do children today have that level of influence on adults? And then, like I mentioned earlier before I started talking about all these questions for the acts way, 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 way back a couple weeks ago. If you were in that situation, would you lie and say you were a witch to save your life? Or would you tell the truth and risk being hanged? It's pretty much just another way of asking you, if you were in John Proctor's shoes, would you have made the same decisions he did, or would you have made a different one? So I just wanted to leave you guys with those questions, those thoughts. Where do you stand on this whole issue?